May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts and thoughts be acceptable unto you, O Lord our God, who is our Redeemer. Amen. From the book of Jeremiah, from which was read this morning, the 29th chapter and the 11th verse from the Authorized Version of Scripture, the writer Jeremiah says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, thoughts of peace." Our God is a God who yearns for His people to live in peace, for the individual, you and I, for Canada, the nation in which we live, peace within our borders, among the nations of the world. God's will is for peace. Such was God's will for His people Israel, in whom we read this passage from Jeremiah. His people who were, we would call them today, refugees in Babylon. The very thoughts of God for His people who are in Babylonian exile, the very thoughts of God for His people, are thoughts of liberation and deliverance and peace. The Israelites in exile, they had no thoughts of peace. They had no thoughts of being free. Their thoughts in being captives were thoughts of hardship and trial and disaster and suffering. Their thoughts were not of freedom or peace. But these were not the thoughts of their God. As we are told in Isaiah 55:8, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are always so much higher than our thoughts. By the way, we don't have to try to reach God's thoughts. The beauty of it is, by grace, we let the thoughts of God penetrate us. The thoughts of God for His people that He were in exile, we see God's thoughts in the text from Jeremiah. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. They are thoughts of peace." On this Remembrance Day observance, it's well for us to remember God's thoughts for us is peace. Peace within the nations. Peace among the nations, and certainly peace for the people of the nations. God's thoughts for Canada are thoughts of peace. We just sang, "O Canada, our home and native land, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee." How fortunate we are to be citizens of this great country, this country of Canada. I have not traveled just a little bit south of the border, if you consider Buffalo south of the border and part of the U.S., some don't. But that's about the extent of my travels. And I'm sure if you have traveled, and many of you have, I'm sure you have a deeper appreciation of what it means to be a Canadian and to live in this country. The country of freedom, this country of human rights as given to us in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, this country of political peace. You can belong to the party or follow the candidate of your choice without any fear of oppression. We have just lived through some municipal campaigns here in Ontario. But in those campaigns and in all political campaigns here in Canada, the issues can sometimes be hot. The differences can be pronounced. But we are reminded that all in all, it is political peace. This came home to me personally a few years ago when I attended an appreciation night for one of our elected officials. And the people that were introduced as they honored this particular person, the people that were introduced were candidates and people from all the parties, not just this person's party. In other words, the people introduced and in that room were political rivals and their supporters in the same room. And you know what? There wasn't a thought of violence or oppression. That is why Canada is the envy of many. I just heard something on the news this morning and I didn't get a chance to digest it. But apparently in terms of a country being envied by other countries in the world, and you may catch this when you go home, in terms of a country being envied by all other countries in the world, we're not talking about what the economy is or some of the issues, but in terms of a country being envied, Canada stands number one in the world. How fortunate we are to be in this country. Peace within the borders of Canada. This country was founded on two founding nations and cultures, English and French. And we will respect and honor one another as a nation of peace and show the world that people of different backgrounds and cultures can live together. This vast country of regional economic disparity, where the wealthy parts of the country must assist the less fortunate parts. We will do that because we are Canadians from coast to coast. My understanding is that people who live in British Columbia, having visited there a few times, people who live in British Columbia, perhaps you have heard this, that they actually have a greater affinity economic-wise, social-wise, and so on, with California and the states that are in that area. If they maybe had their way, they would say, Ottawa's so far away and all our money goes to Ottawa. They might be just as happy, I'm not saying to be another state of the United States, but they might be just as happy to have that affinity with the United States. But we count on them to share the wealth of British Columbia as Canadians, as we will all do to support every part of this country in which we live. This country of Canada, which has received and does receive daily immigrants from all four corners of the earth, that they may come out like many of our forebears came in a year gone by for a better life for themselves and for their children, especially for their children, and many of them, as in former days, are willing to make that sacrifice. A country where our fellow citizens, our neighbors, our fellow church members, people who lived in our community, who have gone before us, were willing to serve in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, who all they had hoped for, all they had, they gave. To save themselves, they scorn to save. Or as it is told in The Man They Never Knew, it goes, countless number we never knew or saw, but we know he died in battle. Though he never cared for a fight, for his country's call had reached him, and he died for what was right. For this country of Canada, God's thoughts are thoughts of peace. God yearns and wills that we and all countries indeed be a country of peace. And what I say here this morning is this, that Canada can only be a country of God's peace, where we as Canadian citizens, that we are the people of God's peace. The peace of Canada starts with you and I. As we know and live in the peace that God has for each one of us beyond our understanding. Faith of our fathers, living still. faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee until death. Faith permeates into peace, but peace starts with faith. I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. In the 109th General Assembly, which was held in 1983 in Kingston, Ontario, from June the 5th to the June the 10th, that assembly in 1983, they declared that one Sunday would be a peacemaking Sunday, and all Presbyterian congregations in that year, on Sunday, October the 23rd, were to put their emphasis on peacemaking Sunday, on how they can be peacemakers, how we as Presbyterians, we as Christians could be peacemakers. Now, we might say at that time, and it's lower now, but at that time, the Presbyterian population in churches was 163,474. And we might think, well, by doing that, even if all Presbyterian congregations did it, and I'm not sure they did, we're not going to change events of world history. Is this just another one of the platitudes that comes down from the higher church to congregations, from synods and general assemblies? Are we just waving the sign of peace in the air and nothing happens? Did it make any difference that we set that Sunday aside for peacemaking? Some will say no, it was a waste of time. I suggest otherwise. Peacemaking Sunday, when designated by any branch of the Church of Jesus Christ, gives us significant reminders. And the reminder that it gave us for that Sunday is this, that God yearns for peace. That we as a church, that this peace has to start somewhere. And yes, it's a vast world out there, and can a small Presbyterian church of 140,000 members, what could it do? The world craves for peace. People crave for peace, and we're saying we want to offer that peace. And the only way we can find that peace is, as Isaiah said in chapter 26, "You, O Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you." It might be said that that Sunday really didn't do much, but it was a start. And always remember what one cigar can do in a big room. It has its influence. God says to His people who aren't living in their homes like you and I will go back to. God says to His people who are treated as really the dirt of the earth, as refugees in captivity. He says to them, "I know your thoughts aren't peace right now. I know you're fighting for your survival. But I tell you this, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord God. And they are thoughts of peace." May the nations of the world know this peace. May Canada, our beloved country, know and live this peace. May you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, know this peace in the depths of our being and be willing to take it out in our lives individually and as the Presbyterian Church in Canada.